So I had my face glued almost to the window of a bus. This was about 10 years ago. It was in Israel, and I was on a public bus driving a passenger as he was driving through the land that Julia read about, that the prophet Isaiah spoke of, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali and Galilee, that part of northern Israel. What an enormous privilege. I was actually there in that place where, as Isaiah went on to say, a great light will come to that very place. What were his words? He wrote, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Isaiah was talking about the people living in that specific part of Israel, but that was representative of the whole world. And that light, that great light that Isaiah spoke of, the one to come, was Jesus. And so at Christmas, we remember his coming. So just as Isaiah prophesied the coming of this great light, so it was what we would expect that when Jesus came, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The great light had come, offering light to all who walk in darkness. Now, a long time ago, when Marg and I were married, actually, it was on our honeymoon. We were on a fairly small motorboat. It was a fishing boat, and it had a small cabin on the top. And below deck, it could sleep about four people. And so there's Marg and me, there was her dad, there was her brother, and the skipper of the boat. And we were bringing that boat from somewhere in the northern part of the east coast of Tasmania, bringing the boat down the east coast around to Hobart. I took my turn at the tiller. I don't think we had a wheel. I think it was a tiller. I took my turn at that in the dead of night where everyone else was below deck. I don't know if they were sleeping or not. I was at the tiller, but they were below deck. And it was pitch black. It was overcast. There was no moon. I couldn't see anything except the white tips of small waves that were breaking near the boat. Now, this is the kind of language that Jesus used to describe the world. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." He used the word darkness to describe the world that he was coming into. It's a dark world. What does it mean that it's a dark world? The Bible describes people as darkened in their understanding. That's a description that the Bible gives of the world, darkened in their understanding. The Bible says that people are hardened in their hearts. And let me tell you what I see as the most fundamental level of that darkness of mind. See, I've got my watch here. Anyone who sees this watch will agree it has a designer. This is obvious. No one's going to debate that. It's made up of different parts, many different parts, that are obviously put together in specific ways to perform specific functions, and they are interrelated, and as they work together, the watch functions properly and it achieves its purpose. No issue. That's obvious to us. But if we go outside and we walk in among nature and we see the complexity of creation. At night, if we look into the sky, those who have access to powerful telescopes that can look right through the galaxies, deep into the universe. People who study quantum mechanics, they can look at the minute aspects of the smallest particles. In all of those things, people see order. They see design. They see things working together in perfect harmony, but they do not see a designer. There's a rejection of that idea. To me, this is the most fundamental level of the darkness of human minds. Unable to see a designer where one is clearly there. The Bible says that God's eternal power and his divine nature are made plain in what he has made. It's there, obvious. Hard heart, darkened minds. But people also refuse to see that. It's not that they can't, they also refuse to see it. Now, I was, that was me. That was me. I could not see a creator, but I also didn't want to see one. I didn't want there to be a God, because I knew that if there was, I would have to change. And I don't understand why I wasn't willing to change, because my life was a mess. I was involved in a lot of sinful behaviour, but still I wanted somehow to hang on to that, not willing to entertain the idea that there was a God. Now, if you reject the idea of a creator, then you also reject the ways that he has made things to work. If you start off the wrong way, then the direction you go is going to be wrong, and the decisions you make are wrong. And I'm not going to go into this a lot, but I just need to mention that this is Christmas. Why am I talking about these things at Christmas? Let's just focus on the positive things. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. He's the one who draws our attention to darkness. That's why the light needed to come. So we can't ignore the darkness. So we just need to touch on it. So people reject the idea of God, the fundamental darkness of the human mind. And therefore, people reject his design. No, human beings, well, we're just an accident of evolution. We just happen to be the highest in the animal kingdom. But there's nothing more to us. When we die, that's it. No, that is not so. God, the creator, the designer, has told us who we are. We are precious to him. We are created in his image. We have a purpose here on earth and for eternity. We are of great value to him. We are not accidents of evolution. This, whichever mindset you have, will determine the decisions you make about society. God designed male and female. The Bible says that God created mankind in his image. In his image, God created them, male and female. God created them. That's who we are. That's our nature. There's a lot of confusion in society today about the nature of people, because we have rejected the notion that there is a God at all. The most fundamental level of the darkness of the human mind. And so we reap the difficulties in our society because of this darkness. But Jesus comes to us. He came 2,000 years ago as the light, and he comes to us today in this society, in your life, as the light, the great light. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, on that boat, in the middle of the night, I was surrounded by darkness, but I was supposed to steer the boat with everyone else below deck, and it depended on me. Now, the skipper, before he went below, he said to me, "You see that light in the distance? Just head for that. Just keep that a little bit to the left, to the port side." He said, "If you keep that light, if you keep following that light, you'll be okay. Surrounded by darkness, but heading towards that light," and we were all safe, and we got where we needed to go. Now, we sung that song earlier, "My Lighthouse." I didn't ask them to choose that song, but it's a very appropriate one. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, shining in the darkness of my life, I will follow you, safe to shore. They're the words of that song. They can be true for us. Yes, around me is darkness. It's a confused world. All kinds of things going on that I don't understand. Yes, but I have a light. If I want that light, Jesus is saying, I'm here. And we go through life challenged on every side. Confused. Jesus' disciples were confused. The world was dark for them too. But Jesus called them to stay the course, to keep following him, to keep following the light. And as they did, they discovered that he really was who he said he was. He really was the light of the world. And his followers over the years, over the ages, have found the same thing. So, Jesus is the light of the world, and when we come into his light, and we have to choose, when we choose to come into his light illuminates our darkened minds. We start to see. His word, as if we're reading his word, it starts to renew our minds. Our hearts are softened. Now, this isn't good news just for people who are, everything's going well in their lives, they don't have any kinds of limitations at all. This is good news to us, whether we have any kinds of physical limitations or disabilities, illnesses, challenges of various kinds. We can experience in our inner being this life, this light, and then that flows out of us into our circumstances. It changes our circumstances as we live according to the light. It changes our relationships as we live according to the light. Fanny Crosby was a blind person. When we think of people who have some kind of, whether it's a disability, whether it's an illness, whether it's really hard circumstances in life, we sympathize with them. But you know, this news, Jesus is the light of the world, and whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That is true for every single person, regardless of our circumstances. And so Fanny Crosby, a blind person who lived last century, she wrote many hymns, and in one of her hymns, she wrote these words. She wrote, "I, in my Saviour, am happy and blessed. I, in my Saviour, Jesus, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love." These are the words of a blind person, but someone who had life. There was light inside. And with all the limitations on her, she was able to write these words. Does it sound good to be happy and blessed? Would you like to be happy and blessed? Does it sound good to be filled with his goodness, to be lost in God's love, to live like that? That was her experience. And Jesus offers that to each one of us. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He offers it to each of us. And for those of us that already have that light, he says, stay the course. Keep following the light. That will take you safely to the shore. Now, it cost Jesus a lot. We're going to share in communion to remember what it cost Jesus to come as the light. Yes, he came into a dark world, and that dark world mistreated him, abused him, rejected him, and killed him. He did that for us, that we might enter into the life that is in him. So he instituted this practice of taking the cup and the bread to remember his body that was broken on the cross, his blood that was shed, that we might receive his light, that we might receive eternal life. Paul the Apostle, in writing about why we do this, he wrote these words: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So we remember Jesus as we take these emblems. We remember the light of the world who surrendered that light for a short time, like a candle that snuffed out just for a short time and then burst back into flame again when he rose from the dead. He's alive today. That's why he still offers us that same light, that same life. If you know Jesus, then please join in, participate. If you don't know Jesus yet, if you're not sure if you follow Jesus or not, let me suggest that you take this time to just really think about these things. These are of eternal importance. Think about them as you see other people taking communion. You reflect on what we've been saying. And of course, parents, thank you for supervising your children. I'll pray, and then we'll have two stations at the front here, and then come in your own time. You might want to stand aside just for a moment and reflect on what Jesus has done for you and your commitment to follow him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You came as the great light into a dark world. The world is dark because individual lives are dark. But you save individuals who call out to you. Thank you, Lord, for your care. You know each one, each person you know and you love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going through for us the pain, the suffering, giving up your life. But you took it back again. You now are the risen Lord, and we thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.